We would like to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Book of Romans, chapter 3. The doctrinal theme of the book of Romans is salvation by grace. That is, that God justifies guilty, condemned sinners. He does so by grace alone, through faith in Christ. So the theme is the gospel of salvation. That is introduced in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Chapters 1 through 11 present the theological truths of salvation by grace. Chapters 12 through 16 is more of the practical outworking of that grace. The book of Romans is really a masterfully written exposition on the subject of grace. In chapters 1 through 3, Paul firmly establishes the foundation of the salvation by grace. We see in these chapters that man is in desperate need of salvation, and that the salvation that he needs, he cannot obtain by his own merits. He cannot obtain by the deeds of the law. Really, the first three chapters, we have the diagnosis of man's condition. This is a problem today with the so-called modern gospel. They begin with a wrong diagnosis. You got to have a right diagnosis. In Romans 1 through 3, we have the diagnosis of man's condition. We also have the remedy that God provides. We'd like to read verse 23, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This verse is often read, is often heard, and made reference to without any thought whatsoever. For all have sinned. I mean, just stop and think about that for a while. And come short of the glory of God. But this thoughtless, flippant attitude in regard to these words have rendered it meaningless in the hearts and in the minds of most. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The flawed and shallow theology of many have rendered those words to be meaningless in the ears of their hearers. I want everyone right now, hopefully you have your place in Romans 3:23. Everyone just look down at your Bibles and read that verse. Read what it says. Read it to yourself. What do those words mean to you? Now, everybody listen as I read. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you read and when you heard those words read, what effect does that have upon your heart? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have two groups of people here today. It's true every Sunday, every Wednesday. There are those who are saved. There are those who aren't. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For those that are saved, those words ought to fill you with humility, with gratitude, with worship, with praise, that God saved you from such a terrible thing. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reading and hearing of those words to those who are unsaved, that ought to fill you with fear, because you are included. For all have sinned. That ought to fill you with fear and trembling. For all have sinned. The very thought ought to make you shudder. For all have sinned. The thoughts of the message, if you haven't figured it out, will center upon and around this declaration. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is our subject this morning. All have sinned. And I pray, again, we have two groups of people here. I pray that if you are unsaved, that this message would cause you tremendous discomfort, anguish, fear, and trembling. And that you would plainly see God's remedy for your condition. And that you would cry out to Him. Ask for all the saved to be praying for the unsaved. That God would come down in a mighty way and save sinners. I pray that you and I that are saved, that we would go from here rejoicing that God does have a remedy, and rejoicing in the One who saved our soul. Throughout the message, I'll be repeating this verse over and over and over and over again. Because I want you to go from here today with those words upon your mind. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I pray that those words would sink deep into our hearts. We want to consider two things. First of all, what do these words mean? What do these words mean? And secondly, God's remedy. God's remedy. First of all, what do these words mean? We want to consider them in the light of God's glory. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there is the declaration, there is the statement, we have all sinned. But notice, this is in the context of the glory of God. You see, because we live in a day when people are trying to view sin almost separately from God. And when this is done, sin is greatly minimized. Sin is trivialized. I believe this is a ploy of Satan. For the truth is, only in the light of who God is can you and I begin to understand who and what we are as sinners. Only in the light of who God is do we even begin to understand the character of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is in the context of the glory of God. We read in Psalm 104:31, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. We read in Psalm 138 and verse 5, for great is the glory of the Lord. Ephesians 3 verse 16, we read of the riches of His glory. So we must ask, what is the glory of God? The glory of God is descriptive of who God is. And when considering who God is, it is important that we remember that everything that God is centers around one particular attribute. God is holy. God is holy. God is perfectly righteous. God is pure. He is without flaw. He is without any defects. He is faultless. He is perfectly good. And as such, He hates sin. God is holy. God is righteous. God hates sin. God hates all sin. God hates all sin intensely. And we read, for all have sinned. God is holy. God hates sin. For all have sinned. He absolutely loathes everything that is contrary to His holiness. He is holy. He is righteous. And because He is holy, because He is righteous, He will never minimize sin. Never. And we read, for all have sinned. Do you have any idea of what that means? In the light of God's holiness, for all have sinned. Can you feel the horror of that statement? That is a horrific statement. For all have sinned. That is in the light of who God is. He is holy. Being holy. Oh, how wrong how bad, how corrupt, how vile, how reprehensible, how abominable, how despicable, how horrible and offensive, and how disgraceful and vulgar, and how grievous sin is to a holy God. And there it is. For all have sinned. Do you grasp what that means? For all have sinned. Do you have any idea of what that entails? As a holy God, He demands absolute perfection. And we read, for all have sinned. And as a result of our sin, we have come and are coming short of the glory of God, of the perfection and the purity that He demands. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the light of God's holiness, in the light of God's righteousness, this is a terribly sad statement. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is a tragic statement. This is a very dismal statement. It ought to be a terrifying statement. Unsaved sinner, can you feel the horrific power of those words? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Consider these words in the light of what sin is. For all have sinned. You know, people today, they have a way of minimizing what this verse says. Get a little child. Do you know what you're a sinner? Well, what do you mean? Have you ever lied to mommy and daddy? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's sin. That's true. This verse says much more than that. For all have sinned. What does that mean? To sin is to go aside from who and what God is. And for all have sinned. The sin is not merely going aside from what mom and dad says. The sin is to go aside from who and what God is. And what God has said. We can do this in our thoughts. How many thoughts have you had that are contrary to who and what God is? And what God has said. We do this in our deeds. We do this in our words. For all have sinned. Sin is a violation of the very laws of God. What does that mean? That means that sin is a crime. It is a crime against God. And for all have sinned. Sin is an opposition against God. Sin is an uprising against God. Sin is a rebellion and a revolt against God. Sin is a striving against God. It is a contending with God. Sin is a defiance of God. For all have sinned. So what does that mean? That means for all have broken the laws of God. That means that all are criminals against God. All have opposed God. All have risen up against Him and have rebelled against Him and have revolted against Him and have contended against Him. Let there be no doubt. All sin is against God. You tell a lie to mom and dad, or you tell a lie to another person. That's a sin against God. It needs to be viewed in that light. It is a rebellion against God. If you even think about telling a lie, but don't. The very thought is sin against God. For all have sinned. To sin is an act of treason against God's authority. It is an act of treason against His goodness. God has been so good, and we sin against Him. It is an act of treason against His love, His grace, His mercy, His long suffering, and His wisdom. Sin has the very nature, the very features, and is the very behavior of Satan. All sin is the nature, the feature, and has the behavior of Satan. So considering what sin is, again, read to yourselves Romans 3:23. Listen as I read. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Realizing what sin is, I hope you can see that there is nothing as monstrous. There is nothing as detestable. There is nothing as despicable, as vile, as corrupt, as dishonorable, as ungodlike, and as shameful, and as disgraceful as sin. And we read, for all have sinned. What an horrific statement. For all have sinned. Again, if you're here and unsaved, can you feel the reality of that statement? Can you feel the horrific power of that statement? Consider these words, for all have sinned. We've considered them in the light of God's glory, in the light of what sin is. Consider it in the light of what sin does. Sin separates from God. All sin separates from God. Sin is makes one unacceptable to God. One sin makes one unacceptable to God. The very fact that you're born with a sinful nature makes you unacceptable to God. And we read, for all have sinned. Sin separates from God. And all have sinned. Wherever there is sin, whether you and I can see it or not, there is damage done. Wherever there is sin, there is destruction. Wherever there is sin, there is ruin. Wherever there is sin, there is loss. Wherever there is sin, there is misery. Sin is spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally disabling, debilitating, decimating, and paralyzing. There is nothing more degrading. There is nothing more shameful than sin. Sin has taken more than any thief that has ever lived. Sin has caused more heartache and more misery than any other plague that has ever existed amongst mankind. Sin has wrought more destruction than any so-called natural disaster. We can watch the news and we can witness all kinds of natural disasters. And yet Romans 3:23 is worse than all of them. For all have sinned. People watch a natural disaster. It could be a hurricane, it could be a flood, on and on we could go. Oh, they must have been horrified. Can you imagine how horrific it would be to be in that? Listen to this. For all have sinned. That ought to make you tremble. There's nothing worse. For all have sinned against the Holy God. Again, remember what sin is. Consider these words. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Consider these words in the light of their context. The immediate context is the glory of God. But in chapters 1 through 3, Paul, under the inspiration of God, really is building a case against man. And the summarizing statement is this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In building his case, he begins in Romans 1, and he declares that man is a sinner. And he brings forth examples of sin. Also in Romans 1, we see the very grim and shocking progression of sin as described. In the context of that, the summarizing statement is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In chapter 2, it is declared that even the religious moralist is guilty of sin. Romans 2 opens with the statement, "Thou art inexcusable." Do you get that? For all have sinned. Thou art inexcusable. You're without excuse. There is no excuse. For all have sinned. In other words, Romans 2 tells us that your religion your morality will not negate this fact. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, it is again declared that all have sinned. And there are 7 indictments brought against the sinner. Verse 9, last statement, all under sin. That is, they're all under the bondage and control of sin. Verse 10, there is none righteous. There's none that is where they ought to be. For the sake of emphasis, no, not one. Third indictment, there is none that understandeth. Fourth, there is none that seeketh after God. Fifth, they are all gone out of the way. That is, there's a willful departure. For all have sinned, and they've done so willfully. Sixthly, they are together become unprofitable. What's that mean? It means useless. It means useless. Well, they got a good heart. You'd better read your Bible. Their heart is rotten to the core. And they're unprofitable as sinners to God. Then he goes on to state, there is none. That's the 7th indictment. That doeth good. For the sake of emphasis, no, not one. Then in Romans 3, verses 9 through 12, is again declared, or verses 13 through 17, there is an account of sin in action. And the reason for all of this is stated in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then man's guilt is declared in verse 19. Last statement of verse 19, and all the world may become guilty before God. And in light of the context, we read those words, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, in light of all these things, we must not overlook a statement that is made back in Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We must not forget what is said in Romans 1:32. They which commit such things, the sins that are mentioned, are worthy of death. That's not physical death. That's eternal death. They are worthy of death. In light of all of these statements, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What an horrific statement. I pray if you're here and unsaved that you would tremble. You have sinned before God. Wrath of God revealed against all ungodliness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is the declaration of God. If you're here and lost, hear those words, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now I want to ask you something. To what court are you going to appeal for hearing? God said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The diagnosis is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a worse diagnosis. If you were to go to the doctor tomorrow and they said, we need you to sit down, we've got bad news. You've got such and such a disease, you've got so much time to live. Because, oh, it's terrible. I'm giving you worse news than that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unsaved sinner, I'm telling you something far worse than if the doctor were to sit you down and say you have terminal cancer, you have this, or you have this. You have sinned. You have sinned against God. You say, well, I want a second opinion. Get as many opinions as you want. But read Romans 3:23 and it'll still say the same thing. That's the diagnosis. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, Brother Dan, that's your interpretation. Read it. Read it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not my interpretation. That's what it says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Regardless of your thoughts, regardless of your genealogy, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of your religion, for all have sinned, and that includes you and I, and come short of the glory of God. That's the diagnosis. That's the diagnosis. For all have sinned and come short with the glory of God. Romans 3:19. Ends with the declaration that the sinner in and of himself is guilty. What does that mean? That means condemned before God. You say, well, I've never experienced the salvation you're talking about, but I feel pretty good about myself. Well, I don't mean to burst, well, I do. Burst your bubble. But you're condemned before God. Now, if you can feel good about that, you go right ahead. But you are condemned before God. If you're here and lost today, well, I don't want you to go from here feeling good about yourself. I want you to go from here knowing you are condemned before God. Nothing more dreadful. This guilty and condemned sinner, it gets worse. Not only are you guilty, not only are you condemned before God, you are in great danger because you can die at any moment. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unsaved sinner, do you feel the danger that you are in. Oh, you may have a good home. You may have a good job. You may have what you call a good life. But unsaved sinner, you are in danger. Because you could die at any moment. You need to feel the danger that you're in. You may be saying to yourself, well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, I've got some more bad news for you. Romans 3, verse 20, read what it says. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. That's your interpretation. Read it. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's not my interpretation. That's what it says. In other words, the sinner, for all have sinned, cannot change his or her condition by obedience, by religion, by baptism, or by any other means of himself. The sinner of themselves cannot set themselves free from the guilt and the condemnation. Oh, if you're here and lost, I pray that God would not give you a moment of rest. That you would so feel the guilt and the condemnation that you are under. That you would see yourself as a sinner before God. And you cannot, by the deeds of the law, rescue yourself from the darkness, from the bondage, from the misery, and from the danger of sin. So the statement, in light of Romans 3, verse 20, the statement, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, is by itself a hopeless statement. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh shall be justified in His sight. If that's where it stops, there's no hope. But it doesn't stop there. That brings us to our second point, God's remedy. Again, it is stated in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And in Romans 1:32, that we are worthy of death. And in Romans 2 and verse 1, we are inexcusable. And in Romans 3 and verse 9, that we are all under sin. And in Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3 and verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then we're told in Romans 3 and verse 20, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. But then notice verse 21. Two words. But now. But now. This changes everything. But now. Those are beautiful words. Those are wonderful words. The words of hope. Because it goes on to say, but now the righteousness of God. There is a righteousness that is acceptable to God. Though the sinner cannot produce or manufacture this righteousness, there is a righteousness. And notice what it says. It is without the law. That is, it's apart from the law. It's already been stated that by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But there is a righteousness acceptable to God. And it's apart from the law. And it's been manifested, it says. That is, it's been displayed. So the summary of the diagnosis is this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a fatal diagnosis. And the sinner cannot be cured by the deeds of the law. But verse 21, but now. God has manifested a way apart from the law. Verse 22. This righteousness comes by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. The sinner cannot be justified before God by the deeds of the law. But God has manifested a way. Notice verse 24 through 26. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom, Christ Jesus, God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a satisfaction to God, something acceptable to God. This comes through faith in His blood. This is God's way. Jesus Christ came to this sin-cursed earth. And He lived a perfect life of righteousness. And He said, after he lived that perfect life of righteousness, Dan Gordon is guilty. He has absolutely no righteousness of his own. Father, I want you to put my righteousness to his account. And then Jesus took my sins, every single one of them, the entire filthy load. And He took them upon Himself. He went to the cross. And He bore full punishment for my sin. It was as if He said, Dan Gordon can never make payment for his sins. I've paid for them. I have paid the price. Read it again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. But now, God has manifested a way. Unsaved sinner, God has manifested a way that you, the guilty, can be just in the sight of God. And Jesus is that way. hear him say in John 14:6, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, well, that's your interpretation. Read it. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But now, right now, right now at this very moment, there is a way. There is a way for the filthy, for the hell-deserving, guilty sinner to be pardoned, to be cleansed, to be accepted by God. And Jesus is that way. He's the way. Again, read and hear those words. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unsaved sinner, you are a sinner. You are a sinner before a holy God, before a God who hates sin. You are a sinner. Do you have any realization? Do you have any understanding at all what that means? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you see that today? Can you feel the weight of a lifetime of sins upon you? Can you feel it? Can you feel the weight of your sins? Can you feel the reality of your sins? Can you see the filth and the shame of your sins? Can you see that your sins are against God? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can you see that you're worthy of condemnation? Can you see and can you feel that you are under condemnation at this very moment? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Do you see and realize that as a guilty sinner, you can't make yourself acceptable to God? But now, God has provided a way in Jesus Christ. If you can feel the reality of this statement, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you will turn from your sin and flee to Jesus Christ, realizing I can't be justified by the deeds of the law. There's nothing I can do to make myself acceptable to God. But Jesus Christ, I put all my trust in His person, in His merits, and in His work, and I'm trusting my soul to Jesus Christ. I promise you that He will save your guilty and hell-deserving soul if you come to Him today, trusting Him. I pray that we've repeated these words enough that you'll remember them. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God, there is a way. Brother Larry.